Welcome to the June 21st sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, and the sermon is entitled Marvelous Faith, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Today, in the mid-1800s, a man by the name of Charles Blondin came to the United States. He came here as a skilled acrobat working with the circus, and he came up with the idea that he wanted to cross the Niagara Gorge just below the falls on a tightrope. 1,100 feet across that gorge, and he wanted to walk on a tightrope. Now, I want to remind you the year 1859. There's no OSHA there to regulate anything, okay? Who in the world would think of something like this? Like, I want to do that. Well, Charles Blondin did that. They stretched the rope, and in 1859, he crossed the Niagara Gorge on that tight rope. Not only that, he would do it again blindfolded. He would do it again in a sack. He would do it again on stilts. He would even do it another time carrying someone on his back. Then Charles came up with the bright idea that I'm going to push someone in a wheelbarrow across the tightrope, across the Niagara Gorge in 1859. I know some of you are sitting there like, ain't no way. Well, his manager decided that he would be the one that would climb into the wheelbarrow and let Charles push him across the gorge on that tightrope. And the people looked at that and looked at that manager and proclaimed that he had marvelous faith, miraculous faith, to get into the wheelbarrow and trust somebody to push you across the gorge. Maybe today you're sitting there saying, no, that's not me. That's not something that I would even do. But let me tell you what miraculous faith does. Miraculous faith doesn't watch somebody else do something and you stand back and applaud. Miraculous faith does not call you to be a watcher of people doing good things, miraculous things. No, miraculous faith calls you and me to get into the wheelbarrow and let Jesus Christ push you through this thing that we call life. And so today, that's what we're talking about. Marvelous faith is knowing that you cannot do it outside of God's help, and that you are willing to trust it all to a Savior, not only who lived for you, but died for you, and will take care of you in this lifetime and after it's all over with in a place that we call heaven. Today, we gather in this place. We want to know what marvelous faith really is. And will our faith get us to that place that Tommy sang about called heaven? And here's what I've learned. There are good people that sit in church that don't know if they're going to get there or not. They think that they've got to be good enough. And here's what the Bible teaches us. You just got to get in the wheelbarrow and trust the Lord. That's all you got to do. Listen to this verse, Luke chapter 7, verse number 9. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said to the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Let's pray together today. Father, as we gather in your house today, thank you for those that are here in person. And thank you for those that are watching right now. God, we pray that you would strengthen our faith as only you can. Lord, some people in this room just need to trust you more. They need to get into the wheelbarrow and just trust you to lead their life. Oh God, today, I pray that by your Spirit's power, that you will convict us to just trust you and that you will grow our faith. Lord, some people in this room today need a Savior. They're trying to do it all themselves, and they realize very quickly that they cannot do that. If that person is in this room today, God, I pray that you will convict them, Lord, just to surrender it all to you. Oh, God, we pray that you will meet us now and that you will remove me out of the way and that you will lead this service. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. There are three things that I want you to see about marvelous faith today. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter number 7. And when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. The first word that I want you to think about today as we think about marvelous faith is that of anguish. Anguish is that word. Jesus has finished up his sermon on the plain and he has made his way to Capernaum. Capernaum is a small fishing village that might strike some of your hearts. And in this village, there is a centurion that we are introduced to. He is a member of the Roman army who had 100 soldiers under him. And that is why he is called a centurion. And that centurion had a different background than anyone in Capernaum because he was a Gentile. He is a staple in the community of Capernaum, but he represents this. He represents a person that has put Israel under oppression. So he's not a very likable guy. Can we say that? Can we agree to that? People really don't like him because he represents the Roman army. And what we see and what we learn here is that there is someone under his command that has fallen sick to the point of death. Now, here's what that centurion can do. At any moment, because he is the centurion, he could call for this sick man's life. He could say, okay, just do away with him, get rid of him, be done with him. We'll find somebody else to take his place. No, that's not what happens here. What we learn here in verse number 2 is simply this. That centurion had a servant that was sick and he was ready to die. But I left out part of verse number 2. What did I leave out? That centurion's servant was dear unto him. How many of you have somebody that you love, that's close, that's dear unto you, that you care so much about? Does anybody have somebody that like that? No? Oh. All right. Make sure this microphone's on. We're okay, right? We all got somebody that we love. This centurion loves this servant, and what he doesn't really have to love him. He's dear to him. But what we see in both of these men is somewhat of anguish. The servant, he is ready to die. He's sick. He's going to lose his life if he doesn't get help. He's anguished to the point that he is ready to die. But the centurion, because he cares and has compassion for this servant, we see that he anguishes. He's trying to do something to save his life. I wrote this down. I don't know where I heard it before. It could have been in a sermon or somewhere else. But I wrote these words. The seeds of faith often sprout on the soils of difficulty. And what we see is there is a sickness in this man's life. And he needs something to be done. And it cannot wait. It must be done right now. This centurion has always been in charge. He's always made the decision. He's always had the answers. He's always had 100 sets of eyes watching him at all times. He is a leader. But in this moment, what power he holds, he cannot fix the issue. He cannot call for help. He is the highest in authority, and there's nothing that he can do. This centurion needs help, and his servant needs a miracle. Today, maybe that's the same thing that brought you to church. Maybe you've been struggling with something. Maybe you've been upset, stressed, filled with anxiety, wondering what's going on. You're trying to fix something yourself, but you can't get it right. Those things tend to drive us toward God. This centurion needs help, and he realized this: I can't fix it. Today, there's a little three-letter word that's called sin. And that little three-letter word has caused a lot of heartache in our great big world. We talk of things of sickness and cancer, wars and rumors of wars, death, accidents that happen. And you know what gets the blame? Sin. You know what gets the blame for the separation of God from you and me? That same three-letter word, sin. Sin separates. Sin breaks apart families. Sin crushes people. But praise be to God that we've got a Savior that went to a cross for sin. Today, if you're anguished and hurting about something, let it do what it has done to the centurion. Let it drive you to Jesus. Let it drive you to look for an answer that maybe you do not have, but you need. What we see very early and very quickly is this centurion and his servant need help. Look at verses 3 through 7. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Second word I want you to see today is the approach. Is the approach. Now listen, can we all agree that we all are in anguish because of the same thing that we can call sin? We all have a sin problem. But how do we approach a holy God with our problems? Well, we get a beautiful picture here. In this picture, we see that the centurion has been in Capernaum and he knows what's going on. The Bible says in verse number 3, when he heard of Jesus, he hears Jesus is in town, he's heard things about Jesus, but he's never really met Jesus. How many of us do things on the basis of things that we've heard? Everybody better raise your hand right now. Raise your hand, yes. How many of you hear there's a sale on at the store and your wives just take off and go? Men, we do as well, right? We do, don't we? You hear there's a sale and you respond. Maybe somebody tells you they read a good book or they watched a good movie. And then what do? You respond and you go pick up that book or you go watch that movie. You've heard of that. Maybe you've received doctor's advice. And the doctor says you need to do this and this and this. And you should do it, right? Amen? We don't like to always do that. But we respond to what the doctor says. The news reports, you respond to those as well. So we understand what is happening here. The centurion hears Jesus is in town. He's heard about the miracles. It's made its way to the city. But Jesus himself is in Capernaum. And as that centurion finds that out, he sends the Jewish leaders to go and greet Jesus. And here's what they know. Jesus can help me. The centurion truly believes Jesus can fix, Jesus can help. Jesus knows what's going on. I need Jesus here now. Has anybody ever felt that way? The centurion needs Jesus. And so he gives out an order, not to his 100 people that are under him, but to the Jewish leaders. Because Jesus might respond better to the Jewish leaders, right? Because he's not a Gentile. And those Jewish leaders go out and they tell Jesus that he is needed. Look at verse number 3. It says this. He sent unto the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. So these Jewish leaders go and they say, Jesus, you are needed. It's almost as a begging. Please come. Please come. You're needed. And as those leaders beg Jesus, those elders beg Jesus to come, verse number 4 say that he is worthy. He's worth coming to help. Now it's, when we see that little phrase there, I could probably go on into a long sermon about that. But what these Jewish leaders are saying is this. He's worth coming to visit. He's legit. This is nothing that's made up or exaggerated. Jesus, this man really needs you. Will you come? And as Jesus makes his way there, I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. Even though it's different backgrounds and different nations, Jesus will make his way there. Now, some of us have a lesson to learn here. Some of us may think, oh, we're worthy. I deserve Jesus. That's not the centurion's attitude. That's what the people are saying about him. That's what the Jewish leaders are saying. He's worthy. He's legit. He really needs your help. He's worthy of you coming. And in verse number 4, that as he says that he's worthy for whom he should do this. Verse 5 says he loves our nation. He's built us a synagogue. This man that did not have to do these things has done great things for the Jewish people in Capernaum. We have a great relationship. Please come and help. So Jesus makes his way. As he is almost at the centurion's house, the centurion now sends some friends to meet Jesus. Now, picture this in your mind. Jesus and the Jewish elders or the leaders are making their way to this house. Well, now they are bum rushed by more friends, more people that the centurion knew. And those people say this, don't come. What? Jesus just had people beg him to come. And now some more friends say, don't come. Why don't you need to come? Look in verse number 6. It says, Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. The people say he's worthy. He deserves it. He's done great things for us. But the man himself sends his friends to say this, I'm not worthy. You can't come to my house. You see, I'm a Gentile, and if you come into my house, you will be unclean. You are worthy, but I'm unworthy to have you to come under my roof and to set foot in my house. I am unworthy. So as Jesus now begins to make a decision, what does he have to do to help this family? This doesn't surprise him. But I want you to know that this statement of unworthiness is rooted in culture, it is rooted in Jewish law, and it questions if it would hurt or make Jesus unclean. It's also humility in its finest. Others held this centurion high, but he remained low. So faith and humility are working in the centurion's life. As he asked for Jesus, he knows this. I'm not worthy for Jesus to even set foot in my house. Look at verse 6 again. He says this, I'm not worthy that you should come to me. And in verse 7, he says this, neither thought I myself worthy to come to you. I'm unworthy for you to visit me, and I can't even come to you. I'm unworthy to even come to you. When we try to play this in our minds to see what the Lord is talking with us, there's so much that I want to tell you, but what is your approach when you need Jesus? Is it one that demands him right now because I've been faithful for so long? That's not the attitude here. It's one that cries out and, God, I need you, Lord, I need you. Jesus, come now. But you also realize this, I'm not even worthy to request Jesus' presence. And I'm not even worthy to go to him. As we see this man's faith, this centurion's faith, we must look at his approach. He asked for Jesus. He realizes that he's unworthy of Jesus. But he also knows that Jesus can take care of it. And he doesn't have to be there. Look at the end of verse number 7. Verse 7 says this, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Here's what makes it marvelous. This centurion knows that he's not worthy. He knows that he needs Jesus. But he knows this, Jesus, at your word, you can speak it and it can happen. You don't have to be there in my house. You don't have to touch physically my servant. At your word, you can heal my servant. So how do we approach Jesus? Do we approach him only when we need something? Do we approach Jesus knowing that he can take care of it all? Families, in this congregation today, some of you are approaching Jesus knowing that he can take care of it. Praise be to God. But there are some people that approach Jesus questioning. Can Jesus really do this? That's not this man's attitude at all. And so as he approaches Jesus, he sends the friends to say this, just speak the word and the healing will happen. That's the marvelous faith. There's one more word that we need to look at. Look at verses 8 through 10. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. That third word is authority. Authority. This is what causes Jesus to marvel, to turn around and address those that were following and say simply this, I've never seen this kind of faith before in Israel. Not from the religious people, not from the Jews, but from a Gentile. He is displaying marvelous faith. Jesus witnessed in Nazareth, and he marveled at the unbelief there, as Mark 6:6 tells us. But now he marvels at the faith of a Roman centurion. The centurion realizes that Jesus has the power. When he speaks a word, it will happen and he can heal. But it equals to that of his own authority. The centurion looks inward and he says this, I too have authority. At my command, One word, people jump and they listen and they obey. A military leader knows authority and knows that he has it. But this military leader recognizes Jesus has the authority. He didn't have any religious training, but he knows this. Jesus has authority over sickness and death. What does that teach us about faith? What does that show us about our faith today? You know some of these verses that we read that are so common. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What that means is this, church, that you've got to believe in the Lord sometimes when you don't see it happening. That's how faith is strengthened. That's how faith is built. Verse number 6 of Hebrews 11 says this, without faith it is impossible to please him. We know that by grace you are saved through faith. And we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. Church, we know this, that we can live by faith and we can walk by faith and we can fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We can fight the good fight of faith. All these things we are encouraged through God's word. But the centurion, out of all the people, his faith was commended without even hearing it. He didn't hear the praises. So today, what do I want to boil this down to say? Here's what I want to say. Believers, church, today, we need to have enough faith that we can bring anything and everything to Jesus, knowing he can take care of it. Believers, we need to know that Jesus can take care of it and there's no doubts in our minds. And believers, we need to know this, that we need Jesus to direct every single day of our life. That's what marvelous faith does. But today, maybe you are here and your faith realizes this. I need Jesus. Because of that word sin, there's something that separates me from God. And I need Jesus. He's the only one that can save me, that can help me, that can fix me, that can make me whole. Today, if you're sitting here, know this. Jesus can save you. The second thing is that you need to realize this. If you're an unbeliever, that we are unworthy of Jesus. No matter what we think in our mind, no matter what we do outwardly, nothing we say, nothing we think, nothing we do can make us worthy and can fix our problem of sin. We are unworthy people. Amen? And because of that unworthiness, do we deserve it? Absolutely not. But Jesus can still save. And the third thing today, if you are an unbeliever today, is you need to give Jesus authority over it all. You need to give him authority over your life. You need to ask forgiveness of that sin, knowing Jesus will cast it as far as the east is from the west, and that he will save you to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus can save. Today, I don't know if I've made sense or not. Here's what I just simply want to say. Get in the wheelbarrow. Get on board. Let go of the handles of trying to figure it all and control it all and fix it all and just surrender them to the Lord, whether you are a believer or not. Get in the wheelbarrow and let Jesus grab hold of the handles and guard and direct your life. No matter if it means going across an 1,100-foot gap that you say, no way. Would you trust Jesus? Would you trust Jesus if he calls you to the mission field today when you don't have the answers? Would you get into that wheelbarrow? What about that loved one, that neighbor, that family member you're going to see at the dinner table just in a few minutes? Listen, you know they need Jesus. Will you say something? Will you speak his name? Will you testify of how good he is to you? Will you get in the wheelbarrow? Even when it's not comfortable? Today, marvelous faith doesn't sit back and clap. Marvelous faith doesn't just show up. Marvelous faith gets in the wheelbarrow. And Clifford Baptist Church, let's do that. And let Jesus lead the way. Let's pray. Father, today, Lord, you know every need across this room. You can search every heart. You know us deeper and more intimate than any person in the world. Lord, you know what our first love is. So God, today, if that first love is not Jesus, Lord, would you call Christians to surrender the throne of their heart to you? Maybe they've got to get out of the way of themselves. Maybe they just need to trust you more. Maybe they just need to take a step of faith and get into the wheelbarrow and just trust you. God, I pray over this room that you lead believers in a deeper walk, a deeper faith with you today. Oh God, that one that's walking through this life, God, I pray, Lord, that you will meet them exactly where they are. That they will recognize that they too are unworthy. As you come, Lord, that you can speak and you can heal and you can forgive. You can give life to that which is dead. Oh, God, today, in some heart in this room or that's watching live stream, God, I pray, Lord, that your spirit will be at work, not to make them better, not to make them feel better, but to save them. Oh God, today there may be somebody that just needs to lay it all down at the foot of the cross and by faith come surrendered to Jesus. Lead us in this moment of invitation, God, I pray. We are all unworthy, and we need you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand. Our God is worthy of our faith. Let's sing. I believe he gave sight to the blind. I believe that the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders and signs. You're still the same. I believe every word that you say. I believe there are scars in your hands. That your goodness is good without end. And you'll never change. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always, always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. All generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful yesterday, always. I believe you will come in the clouds. I'll sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. All generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always.
The centurion also teaches us this, that you can send for Jesus for somebody else. There's somebody in your family that needs Jesus. No better place. Take them to Jesus. Take it to the Lord. My prayer today is that we understand this. And as we leave knowing how good Jesus is. And how much we need him more each and every day.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.